Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If it's a new distance that feels longer, then my brain will find a way to be like, oh, you've not done 5 miles in quite a long time. What if it tips you over the edge and you fall into the canal or something?
Or onto a canal boat.
Or onto a canal boat, yeah. This time of year, it's the sun starting to come out a little bit more. Like, it was really lovely and sunny on that run, and it makes so much difference to my brain. Oh my God. I felt really, really good after I'd done it, and I genuinely enjoyed almost every bit of it. I love that we discovered about luteal cycle or whatever, luteal period.
Except, of course, phase. But the thing is, we are using it willy-nilly, aren't we? We have
idea. Oh, I'm feeling a bit luteal today.
It's your fault. No idea. And I got into bed and I thought, I'm not going to make it like last time. I'm not going to start overthinking. I'm not going to let my brain go into overdrive at 2 o'clock in the morning. And my brain just went like this. And I was just like, oh my God, I sent a text yesterday to an old friend and she didn't reply to it. So she absolutely hates me.
Or, classic. I saw a meme the other day, by the way, that was like, it was like a genie granting someone their 3 wishes. And they were like, come on, what is going to be your third? Because you wasted your first two on do all of my friends hate me and are they mad at me? And then the third wish was still like, are you sure?
Welcome to episode 185 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. In this episode, we talk about nerves and anxiety on a run, and also we chunter on a bit about how sleep, unsurprisingly, can have a huge effect on our running and our moods. We also talk about kit and the shoes we currently like to run in. The latest ones that I've been able to plod in have been a total revelation, as I didn't think they were designed for runners like me, but it turns out that they are. We talk about support on race day from family and friends and how we mentally cope with doing hard things without the support crew. To be honest, I feel so much better about this now because we have such a strong community with the Pod Squad, and that's you guys, that is. We've got just enough time to get excited about New York, our half marathon in April, which is fast approaching. We're getting very close to Last Chance Saloon now. So if you've been sitting on the fence, do please sign up before the offer closes, as it would be wonderful to have you there. We talk about everything we're looking forward to, which mostly includes the huge margaritas we had last time. If you don't already subscribe to Women's Running Magazine, we've got a Pod Squad exclusive offer for you lovely people. Hop along to womensrunning.co.uk/podsquad and you'll be able to get your mitts on Women's Running for just £3.50 an issue, saving 42% off the cover price. The subscription is totally risk-free and flexible. You don't need to sign up for years and years, so it's the perfect way to get loads more Women's Running fun times for pennies. I'm absolutely knackered, so you can start this one off.
Okay. I will start by telling you.
Yeah.
You can tell us why you're knackered in a minute if you want. But
okay.
I am less knackered because I had quite a restful weekend, which was really nice. I'm not going to be able to keep it up forever, but I've been really enjoying my little routine of doing my long run on a Friday lunchtime.
Oh, nice.
It's so good. It's such a skive. Like, it's the best possible place that I could put it in. I'm not even getting up early on Friday to do it. I'm literally just doing it on my lunch break. It's great.
And it gets it out the way, so you don't...
It gets it out the way. Yeah. So I had wine on Friday and Saturday night this week. It was lush. And I had quite a full-on day on Saturday. I mean, it was a gentle day. We didn't have a huge amount of plans, but we just did a lot of house sorting. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday, Doug's family came up for the day, so I didn't have to worry about trying to fit the run in. So that's working really well for me, and it's probably going to have to start changing when I hit about 7 miles, when it's starting to take me longer than an hour to do the runs. Yeah. But for the mo, really loving that. Yeah, it went
the running,
really well.
And the running itself is feeling okay?
Yeah, running's feeling quite good at the moment, not to be annoying. So my run on, after I spoke to you last week about my one, I think I just had that one where I had thought I was absolutely flying and it was the slowest run I've done so far.
Mm.
I actually listened to my body a little bit and I didn't run on the Wednesday. I thought I'm just going to leave it. I was a bit anxious last week as well. I think I was just... Honestly, I blame the luteal phase. I'm sure there was something going on because I wasn't ill, but I just felt last week. Yeah. I was slow and sluggish and grumpy and anxious, and it just didn't feel like the right thing to do. So I didn't do it, and I didn't try and cram it either, which meant that I just ended up doing one short run, the 2 mile, and then I did a yoga session instead of the run on the Wednesday.
Nice.
And then went straight into my long run of 5 miles on Friday, and it was really nice, and I think I made the right decision because I felt like my legs were refreshed and I was ready to go going into it. I was quite proud of my pace. It was fine. I just found it a lot. I didn't actually run it quite as quickly as the 4 mile one that I'd run previously, but I just found it all a lot more comfortable.
Yeah,
it was just, I didn't have the shits, I guess. So
brilliant. Yeah, that's a bonus, isn't it?
It was always going to be an improvement. And yeah, it just felt like quite a nice one. I think also, I'm going to do an Instagram reel about this afternoon, so I'm really sorry, because by the time this comes out, hopefully everyone will have seen that and this will be really boring. But I was going to do something about running and anxiety, because it's such a weird double-edged sword that sometimes if I give in to the inner saboteur, as RuPaul would say, I sometimes feel like it can make things worse when I run. But if I don't, and I use it as an opportunity, as a sort of exercise in refocusing my thoughts and sort of correcting that behavior every time. So if I start to go, I can't do it, or I'm going to die, or I can't breathe, refocusing that in and being like, you're fine every time. It's quite a good kind of meditative practice to do, I think, because I don't know why, but exercise in general has always just been something that I get really nervous about.
Yeah.
And I don't get nervous before like going on stage for things, or well, I do a little bit, but not loads. I get really, really nervous about going for a run. My dad used to have it where he would like be sick in the changing rooms before a rugby match or whatever. And I feel exactly the same about sport. It's always made me so anxious. And I just feel like I've been combating that with not allowing myself to overthink, just going, nope, and just literally like a sort of puppy or whatever, correcting my thoughts every time.
But that anxiety, is it performance anxiety, or is it people looking at you anxiety, or is it?
Like for a race or something, then it's performance anxiety and people looking at me. But I get it even when I go it's not for a shorter run, it tends to be for long runs. So I think is something bad going to happen? Is it going to be really horrible? Am I going to be sick? Am I going to fall over? Am I going to, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
A bit of a fear of the unknown. Like if I was running, because like I did 3 miles just now, and that's a distance that I've been running quite consistently for a while. So I don't feel nervous or anxious about that at all. But if it's a new distance that feels longer, then my brain will find a way to be like, oh, you've not done 5 miles in quite a long time. What if it tips you over the edge and you have some sort of attack and fall into the canal or something?
Or onto a canal boat.
Or onto a canal boat, yeah. So it's actually been quite good for that at the moment. I've been finding it helpful for anxiety. Though I am learning that I can't go for my run too late in the day, because the times that I've been going sort of after work, occasionally I've gone after work with Lex or something. And I don't think that I can do that anymore with my adrenaline. I find it difficult to go to sleep on those nights. And I think it might be because I've given myself too much adrenaline too late in the day.
There is an argument for that completely. I've read loads of stuff where it's got like, don't exercise too late in the day, because you really do, like, everything starts pumping around.
I used to do it all the time when I first trained for the Bath Half in 2020, when I started running. I used to run after work all the time, because we worked in the office all the time then. We don't have like showers or anything at work, so quite regularly I would run when I got back, and it used to be absolutely fine. But yeah, now my funny brain has been sort of slightly changed forever in terms of its perception of adrenaline. I struggle, but anyway, I'm going into that too much. We'll talk about that on a anxiety specific episode, but it's but been also, helping it's... basically, and I've been feeling really good. And 5 miles went really well on Friday, and I just had such a lush 3 mile. Like I felt like I was flying, and it was really nice. It was my fastest run I've done this training block.
Oh, good for you. Yes, that's amazing.
Quite smug at the moment, but
well, retain that, because I don't think relabel that smugness as being proud in yourself. Yeah, because I don't. Smug seems derogatory, and you should be proud.
You're right. You're really right. I am proud. Oh my gosh, that's actually a really good point. What happened to my cream egg? I got myself a cream egg because I was really proud, and I don't remember seeing it in my shopping bag.
Oh dear. Oh, she's God. Left it on the. Left at the supermarket, nightmare.
Oh, I might have to retrace my steps, because it might have fallen out of my bag while I was coming up the stairs. I'm actually really distracted and worried about that now.
There will be other cream eggs. Oh, don't worry.
What if my nasty neighbours steal it?
If you see it smashed against your front door, like
been egged. But yeah, that's how mine is going. It is uncharacteristically well. Is the answer.
Amazing. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you. I think maybe with the exception of that 4 miler last week where I did have the shits, which was terrible. I think the thing that maybe sounds a bit more characteristically whole than sort of feeling excited about how fast I'm going or whatever, in reality, it's not very fast. But I think the thing that I'm loving that ties all of that stuff together with the anxiety stuff, and I just feel like I'm really enjoying running at the moment, and it's making me feel good, especially like this time of year. It's the sun starting to come out a little bit more. Like it was really lovely and sunny on that run, and it makes so much difference to my brain. Oh my God. I felt really, really good after I'd done it, and I genuinely enjoyed almost every bit of it. which never happens. I had one of the ones. There you go. It was, you know, we talk about those runs that you have,
yeah,
like maybe
yeah.
three of a year. I guess I had that's one of mine yeah. today. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's that ticked off. You're not going to get another one of those until June.
No, so, no. Yeah. But yeah, enjoy it while you can. Yeah. My Wednesday run will probably be the worst of my life so far. That's what usually seems to happen, isn't it? When
oh, you'll be fine. It's probably yeah. You're probably right. It's probably a luteal thing. I blame luteal. It probably yeah. It's.
I love that we discovered about luteal cycle or whatever luteal period.
Except, of course, phase. But the thing is, we are using it as a phrase just. Like willy-nilly, aren't we? We have
yeah,
no
we're like,
idea.
Oh, I'm feeling a bit luteal
like, oh,
today.
Yeah, it's your fate. No idea. It could be the bad one or it could be the good one. Don't know. Yeah. We just like chuck it in there.
Yeah, I think it means now on this podcast, regardless of what it actually means, it means just one of those days, doesn't it? Bit luteal.
Yeah. Bit luteal today. Yeah.
Bit bloody luteal today. Oh.
I'm definitely luteal today. Definitely.
Are you? Tell me about yourself, your life, your running, or just yourself and your life. It doesn't have to be running.
Thanks. No, it doesn't. I'm exhausted because I think, as I've documented on this podcast before, I had a disturbed night's sleep because of Felix waking up in the middle of the night, which she now does probably, I'd say, once a term. It's probably not mm-hmm. that often. So it's like three or four times a year that she will wake up in the middle of the night and she will quite quietly just ask for me. But it's so deeply, deeply middle of the night. So it's usually about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning that when I wake up, I'm like dizzy. I can't walk. I'm so kind of discombobulated because I've been in deep sleep. So I have to kind of physically wrench myself out of it. Yeah. I have to go and get her. We've learned now there's no point. She's had a nightmare and she's sort of woken herself up and it's always when she has a cold. So it's like, it's usually precedes and lo and behold, she's woken up this morning and she's got a cold. So it's just because she's more wakeful and whatever. So she wakes herself up and we've got it down to, I'd say a fine art, but it's not that fine. The routine is that I pick her up, chuck her into bed with Dave and I go and sleep in her bed. But it takes me hours because I got into bed and I thought, I'm not going to make it like last time. I'm not going to start overthinking. I'm not going to let my brain go into overdrive at 2 o'clock in the morning. And my brain just went like this. And I was just like, oh my God, I sent a text yesterday to an old friend and she didn't reply to it. So she absolutely hates me. You know, those sorts of things.
Or classic. I saw a meme the other day, by the way, that was like, it was like a genie granting someone their three wishes. And they were like, come on, what is going to be your third? Because you wasted your first two on do all of my friends hate me and are they mad at me? And then the third wish was still like, are you sure? Oh, it's so awful. But yeah,
oh my God.
Always my 2 a.m. thoughts as well. I was having the same where I was like, oh, I've not been organized about my social life. I need to message all of my friends tomorrow morning and go, what are we actually doing this week? Because I've forgotten and I'm going to bail on some of you and I'm going to have double booked and something awful's going to happen, blah, blah, blah.
And you're all going to hate me. Yeah.
And everyone's going to hate me. And it's all my fault. And it really is because I didn't sort myself out.
This is it. So yeah, at 2 o'clock in the morning, those were my thoughts, and at 3 o'clock. So I feel quite buggered. Mm-hmm. You know, energy wise. And I have done, normally on a Monday morning, I go for a short run and today I have chosen not to, but I did. So I am listening to myself, my tired self. So I did a long run yesterday and it was 11 miles and it was really super hard because I am right in thinking that next week is my last long run that I can put in before the Bath half. And then if I'm going to taper, and then the week after is taper.
Okay. Did I spot you doing 11 on Strava yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did 11 yesterday. Okay. And then I did.
Sorry, did you just say that was what you did? And then I repeated it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that might have been what happened.
Close listening. That's why I gave you a look.
Sorry.
I interrupted it by.
She does give a shit.
When you were saying it, I was like, I know what S has done because I saw it on Strava this morning, and I spent the entire time you were telling me what you did trying to remember what I'd seen you do on Strava this morning. Anyway, we both got there in the end.
We did. I did that. One thing that I changed this week is that last week I only did. Not only, I did two runs instead of three runs midweek. So I've got into a bit of a pattern of doing four runs a week. And last week I just, and so that made the run on Sunday feel a bit easier to begin with. But also, and here's a discussion point, an interesting thing that I decided to try out on Sunday was to try a newish pair of shoes, right? So I normally run in... I'm quite a kind of cushion kind of person. So I quite like things like On Cloud Surfer is a big hit with me. Yeah. I've got through two pairs of those on current count. I like that kind of squidge, but with kind of an energy return to it.
Yeah, I love, it sounds like we're sponsored by either of these people. We're not, though, if they would like to, but as always.
That'd be amazing.
Do give us a shout. I've discovered that my thing at the Mo is cushioned and a bit responsive, but actually quite close to the ground. Because I know that I like cushioned, I had been falling into the trap of getting very maximalist soles for ages. And actually, I think I prefer... Being a little bit closer to the ground, but still having that nice chunk of cushion.
Yeah, I used to. Well, I used to really love running in Brooks Hyperion Tempo, which are very, very close to the ground. Almost, I would say almost minimalist, but they're not. But they've got big energy return, but they don't have that kind of cushion that you'd expect from like Ghost or Glycerin or whatever. It's really quite firm compared with those. But I got I went through three pairs of those, actually. I love them so much. So I moved to the Cloud Surfer. But I also like things like Ghost Max. That was quite fond of that. That was another Brooks one. Anyway, midweek, I began testing properly this new Hoka, which is, and I'm going to get the pronunciation wrong, the Cielo X1.
Yeah. I saw your review of it and it looks amazing. But I was very impressed that you'd done your 11, when I pieced together, because I saw your Instagram post saying that you tested them for a long run. And then I saw that you had done 11 on Strava and I was like, bloody hell, she did 11 in those new Hoka, because aren't they carbon plated and boingy race ones?
They are, but they don't feel like it. And so I think that's like part of the review. I feel like this is a review thing, but I think it's interesting to
what
say.
What the hell?
What the fuck am I doing? What am I doing? Oh my God.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. But I have to tell you guys, and I think it's because
I'm loving it, but I just hope everybody enjoys that we've become disgusting running people.
Horrible nerds. But it was only because, right, so it's because I have tried Nike Alpha Flies, as have you. And
I remember.
Are amazing. They're amazing. And I think we should, let's just have a little point there because we need to tell the story of when we both tried the Alpha Flies. Let's do that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But they are, as soon as you put them on, you're like, oh my God, these are amazing, because it suddenly feels like you've put like little pogo sticks underneath your feet, right?
Yeah.
But I think with those, the two things for me is that you can feel the carbon plate underneath, because it feels it's incredibly bouncy, but very, very stiff. So your foot is locked into position. I'm not into that at all. And then the other thing is that I think because you're so, that stack is so massive, it's like 4 foot or something. It's not quite 4 foot.
Yeah.
It's really, really high.
It's like those bucket shoes that you used to have when you were.
Yeah, stilts. Yeah.
Yeah, so mini like stilts.
But also on a very, very narrow base, right? So I think your ankles, or my ankles particularly, felt very, very unstable when I put on Alpha Flies. And I think Hoka fixes all of those issues at a cheaper price. So they're still expensive. Ooh. They're like 250 quid, these shoes. They're really, really bloody expensive. But you got a wide base and the plate isn't one big piece. It's winged. So there's like two pieces. So you definitely feel more movement in the shoe. And it feels amazing. So it feels stable. It feels bouncy. It feels like, I do feel like an advert now, but it feels like a carbon shoe that like normal people can wear. And so I was like, right, I want to wear this for a normal ploddy run because I'm never going to wear it for like a sub-3 marathon because a sub-3 marathon is not what my legs can do, right? Yeah. I'm going to try and take it on my ploddy canal run and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the end result was that I ran faster than I should have done for the first 6 miles and I didn't really notice until my lungs started complaining at mile 7. So I kept on looking at my pace and just going, oh, bollocks. And then like my headphones kept on saying, you have run this mile in at least a minute faster than I would normally do an easy run, at least a minute faster. And I wasn't trying at all. So
I love this. I know. Honestly, I really am realizing how important shoes are because I've been finding exactly the same. I'm piecing it together like Sherlock Holmes while you're talking to me about this. I've just realized that my two shit runs that I've had for generally I've enjoyed this training block. It could be some luteal stuff going on too. But that 4 miler, I was wearing some stupid trail shoes that because I thought that I was going to be going down quite a bit of toe path that I didn't end up going down because it was closed. So I ended up just going on road. Horrible. Mm. Wearing chunky trail shoes on the road. It was just really nasty. Mm. Again, I felt like I was going to fall over. And then the second time I was trying some other shoes that are more of a stability shoe that I thought maybe for a while might be for me. I've definitely realized now is not the thing for me. Mm-hmm. Both the wrong shoe. Every other time that I've worn these ones that I'm loving, which are the Hoka Mach 5 at the moment, which are like, they're like technically maybe you could do them for a race day or definitely like a tempo shoe, but they're comfy enough that I've been wearing them for my ploddy miles and similar effect. I just don't notice. It feels so much easier without me really having to like put the effort in. are we doping via shoes?
It does. It is a bit like whenever we talk about, you know, things that give you a massive advantage, I'm always talking about that. Who's that swimmer that I'm always, because I always cite
Michael Phelps. You always talk
Michael
about
Phelps
his feet.
And his massive feet, yeah. So it's like... So, I guess it is the same. It's an advantage. There's no way that you could run 5 or 6 miles from like zero to that point with just the shoes and no other training, right? The advantage that it gives you is minimal, but also quite, I think when you are running to a certain extent, it is quite crucial. And like it did, like it wasn't an easy run for me yesterday. That 11 miles was not easy and I wanted it to finish and I didn't particularly enjoy it. I wasn't in a fabulous place with it. But most of that is mind over matter. So my legs actually felt fine. My lungs sort of felt okay. But a lot of the reason why it wasn't feeling great was guilt, actually, at leaving the house for 2 hours.
Aww.
So I think that's, and that did what, I did want to lead that into another, because we were going to talk about kind of support and stuff. But have we ever talked on here about us and the Alpha Flies?
I don't think we have. This is such, maybe we have. I'm really sorry if we have. I feel like this is also, it's an interesting and quite controversial subject that we should have an episode on at some point because some people don't like, you know, wasn't there a whole thing for a while where the Alpha Flies were like banned or there was a conversation that they were going to be banned for some races because I remember my cousin was talking about it because he's in the super speedy category and he was like, his coach was trying to advise him on whether or not to get them because he wanted to get them and train in them and race in them. But he was like, or hold back because they might, there's talk about whether they're going to be allowed and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. That was a couple of years back. And I think it was around the kind of Eliud Kipchoge kind of beating the 2 hour thing.
Yeah.
And around the race before then, I think they had a prototype version of the shoe the first time that he came close to 2 hours. And there was discussion then because the stack was so massive and they were like,
I think that one was not what ended up being the Alpha Fly that went on sale. Yeah. Cause they were like, I don't know whether we can do that one.
Maybe. Yeah. So there's definitely limits to the stack. I think Alpha Fly now, absolutely fine.
Yeah.
You can go for your life kind of thing.
You can go for your life. Well, I can't is the answer. As the house of alpha flies.
Yeah.
We were doing a video. We were filming some stuff. Dog was with us. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
I can't remember what we were filming. Because
we're the same sort of, we're roughly the same foot size. I think you might be slightly smaller than I am.
I think I'm a bit more cuboid than you. I think I'm a bit wider and a bit shorter.
Yeah, which isn't very attractive. I think it's very cute in a foot. I think that's
okay. Thank you.
But because we're roughly the same foot size, I was like, right, I've got these alpha flies, and we very rarely get anything to test from Nike, so it was quite a big thing for us.
It was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Big deal.
We've made it.
Us, we're professionals. This is great. Let's do some content. Let's both try them and see what it feels like. And so I put them on. I think we have talked about this.
We've probably had plenty of new listeners since who don't know
the story.
We talk about running now as if we know what we're talking about.
It's true.
So this is what's going on behind the smoke and mirrors of it all.
So I tried these shoes on. I was sort of, and it took me a while to squeeze my feet into them. Had a little run in them, got a bit of content, gave them to Holly to try on. And what happened?
First of all, I remember it took me so long to get them on. And then I don't know if I told the full story of this before. It took me ages to get them on. We ran. I eventually did. And I was like, oh, bloody hell. Then I have to admit, I did feel exactly what you were talking about. I've never had a super shoe before. So I was just running around in it like, oh, my God, it is like running on little mini trampolines. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And we were just running up and down. And I think Doug was taking some videos of us. Which incidentally, I noticed he didn't use any of the content of me when I think back. That was all of you. That you used. Thanks. But yeah, we did a bit of that. And then we were like, right, time to head off. We need to go now.
Mm.
And I was sitting on a park bench desperately trying to get these things off my feet and going, I think, yeah, I'll be 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And going, what the fuck? They're stuck. Because you know, so often, I've got a race shoe right next to me. I've got a carbon plate shoe right next to me.
Yeah.
It's an Adidas one that I've been sent. I'm not going to lie. I've not tested it yet because really not my forte. So I'm putting it off. But you know, they're made of this thing where, like, so this is the same thing where the Alpha Fly was kind of made of, where it's like the thick, it's like a breathable meshy thing, but it's really thick. Like it's almost made of like fishing line or something.
Yeah. So so instead of like a normal, like a glycerin or a ghost or a like Nimbus or whatever, where you get like a heel counter, which is all soft and plush, you get that same like sock-like fit, don't you, with race shoes. Where it's the same stretchy material around the back of your heel and the front of your foot. And usually the tongue is either half, I believe the term is gusseted.
Yes, nice.
Which is nice. I know. it's either half sewn in or completely just one piece of fabric.
Yeah.
And they make it really tight because they want it to obviously stay on your foot. And it's really tricky to put on. And it's really tricky to take off.
I personally call fat phobia. I think also they're not making them wide because they're like, no people with chubby ankles and fat feet are putting these on. Well, they tried and it didn't work very well for me. And yeah, that's exactly it. That describes it really well. It's like a sock-like thing that means it is solidly on your foot when you're running. But oh my God, I could not get it off for the life of me. It was one of those panics, like when you put a ring on in a shop and then you're like, fuck, because you can't get it back over your knuckle again. And the more you panic, the more your hand swells up and the more you can't get it off. And it's horrible.
Always.
Oh my goodness. The amount of times that I've had to be like, I'm going to have to call the fire brigade in Oliver Bonus or whatever because I've got a ring stuck on my finger. But they got completely stuck on my foot to the point that I did eventually yank them off, but they ripped that like fishing line stuff, ripped my finger up. So I was bleeding and then I bled on them. And I was like, oh my God, these are like, you know, 300 quid super shoes or whatever. And we're so excited to have been sent something from Nike for the first time as well. I don't know whether they're going to ask for them back as well. I was like, oh God. But worse than that, I really hoped that they were never going to ask you for them back, because I had to take them off with such force in the end that the heel actually came away from the fabric. Well, fabric, you know, the sort of plasticky stuff.
And
I'd separated the you know, the magic 300 pound carbon plated sole from its thing in one fell swoop.
You did.
Oh my God.
I think that's down I to the construction them. Of the shoe and not your feet.
I'm not going to lie. I don't want to slag them off too deeply, because we don't get sent stuff from them very often. But also, maybe that's all the more reason to slag them off. They better start sending us more things to test if they want our thoughts. but yeah, I was very disappointed that even though it was not without wrenching, because they were stuck fast on my feet, it did feel like it came off quite easily, which was quite funny considering how expensive they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like, if you spent that much money on a pair of Manolo Blahnik high heels or something, you wouldn't expect
the
heel to come off,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, you wouldn't expect the heel to come off.
Oh my God, which literally happened as well to me once before. I've never told this story in the podcast.
Oh.
This was mortifying. So at my sister-in-law's hen do, me and other sister-in-law, We both felt like we were the naughty children as well a little bit. There was a little group of the three of us. It was me and Doug's younger sister, Rosie, and my sister-in-law, Elle. And we couldn't afford, first of all, to stay in the hotel that everyone else was staying in, because we were all students and poor and younger than everyone. So we stayed in a little Airbnb a bit in the naughty corner, while everybody else stayed in this nice hotel. And then we went on a night out, and one of Doug's older sister, the one who was getting married, whose hen it was, one of her friends had a pair of Prada shoes, and she was like, try them on, they're so comfy. And I must confess, I was so drunk this night that I don't know whether it was me or Elle, but certainly we both tried them on, and afterwards the heel had come off.
Oh no!
It was awful. I felt so bad. But I was like, I can't afford to offer to, like,
to replace.
We were just like, what? Oh God, it was awful. Mortifying. What do you do?
Well, I don't know, but you definitely have a legacy of breaking expensive shoes.
Yeah, I do. I shouldn't be trusted. No, it does make me feel like a bit of a sort of heffalump person, that just like, I shouldn't be given delicate, nice things because I will break them. Like Lenny in Of Mice and Men.
That's you. You shouldn't. Yeah. That's very, very literary reference. Yeah, no, I think.
Thank you.
Stick to wellies and Crocs.
Exactly. Oh, I've wanted all my life to be a Louboutin girl, and I'm just a Crocs girl deep down. Nah, as if I've wanted all my life to be a Louboutin girl. It's not really my scene. Which is why I do remember distinctly being a bit like, not mega keen to try the shoes on. But we were like, okay. And then we were like, oh, it was awful. If she's listening, if she ever listens to this, for some reason, though, I'm sure she would never, because she probably hates my guts, because I either single-handedly or at the very least jointly ruined her shoes. if she ever listens, I do apologize. And if there's anything I can do, wood glue is about the only thing I can offer, really.
Yeah. To be honest, it doesn't sound as though that's from the heart, Hall, I have to say. It doesn't sound that you would do anything to repair those shoes.
I'm sorry. Well, I think I felt a little bit of like with the Nike ones, where it was like, these are so but this shouldn't happen.
Exactly. So actually,
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. shopify.com/retail23.
I was annoyed with Prada or whoever it was. I was like, yeah, this is bollocks.
It is bollocks.
Yeah.
It is bollocks. Not. I assume that on that night out, it's not like you took a hammer to them. You were just walking.
No. I don't think we even walked. I think we just put them on.
Oh.
I have no idea what happened. I would have to track down the French bartender in the place and for a third party eyewitness, because I can't remember anything. I was so ill the next day. Oh, it was awful. I was so drunk that night that I remember being sick in the Airbnb while the Airbnb host was going around going, like, doing the inspection before we checked out, and I was like secretly doing silent pukes into the toilet while she was doing that and being like, please don't check the toilet. It was awful. And then it was a classic where end of a holiday, you have to check out of your Airbnb, hotel, whatever, and then you have to spend, but you don't have a flight till the night. So I had to spend the whole day walking around Nice. And this sounds very spoiled. Amy is gorgeous and her hen do was very lovely. This was all my own doing. On the last day, I had to spend it walking around very hot Nice with my suitcase, being sick in public bins.
That's horrible.
It was awful. And I slept on the beach for an hour, and that was the only thing that sorted me out. I'm so glad that I'm still a member of the family after that.
Yes, well, they're fortunate to have you, even though you go around breaking shoes and being sick into bins.
Being sick in bins. Yeah, that was not my best behaviour on that holiday.
No, I can see that. I can see that. You're a changed person now.
Thank you. I'm too anxious to behave like that now. I would never try somebody else's shoe on because I go, no, what if I break it? And I would never get that drunk because I'd be like, what if I die? So I don't, I can't do that anymore.
Okay, well. Maybe that's to our secret advantage. I think, super shoes. Pros and cons. Didn't like the Alpha Flies. They broke on us and they felt weird. Do like the Hoka Cielos X1s. I do think there is something in there. I do think it's like, I would say it's a carbon shoe for everybody, but it's not. It's a carbon shoe for everybody that wants to spend £250 on one pair of shoes.
I mean, that's just the thing, isn't it? It's wild. Yeah. You might as well get yourself a booming pair of Manolo Blahniks or whatever.
Yeah, it is
bonkers. I mean, is that why people tend to save those kind of shoes for a race day, or do they?
No, it's. Well, maybe it might be for some people, but normally speaking, normal people do not want to have one pair of shoes for race day because you're not supposed to wear something new on race day, right? But also, these shoes are specifically normally created for race days. Like, so the other part of the argument is that, like, some of these shoes, and I remember, like, there was a Brooks Hyperion, like, early on in the days, in the, like, maybe 3 or 4 years ago when they first came out with that they said it had a maximum of something like 150-200 miles or something, so they were really only expecting you to run like 3-4 marathons really.
I kind of remember this happening, and it was like they came out in conjunction, the Tempo
were the training
tempo
ones
that you loved, yeah, were the training ones, and they were meant to have a similar feel but without the same propulsion as it was. I think it was the Hyperion Elite or something was the name.
I think it was the first Hyperion Elite. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And I guess that was because it was like to avoid that pitfall of like wearing a new shoe on race day, you were sort of supposed to train in this one that felt similar but wasn't quite.
Wasn't carbon plated.
Yeah, wasn't carbon plated.
And I think, to be honest, I think all brands now do that where they may not sell them in as such because that would seem like a awful capitalist something or other. But I think pretty much
I was just thinking quite clever idea, isn't it, marketing wise?
But all, I think all brands kind of do that. I think Nike does it. I think Brooks obviously does it. I think Adidas definitely do it where you have a race day shoe and you have a training partner shoe. But the training partner could be, you know, you could buy the two of them together or you could just buy the training partner and then race in that one as well. But yeah, I think
that's probably what I think. I think
people have learnt a lot from that kind of race day shoe angle, also in terms of environmentalism, because who the hell is spending hundreds of pounds on a shoe that they're going to wear once, twice, three times? It's incredibly wasteful. And you know, massive poor show, and most of that shoe is going to be made of plastic of some degree.
Yeah.
So it's bad vibes all around, really. Yeah, and which is one of the reasons, I guess, one of the reasons why I decided that I wanted to do a longer run in those Hokas, because I was just like, right, how does it feel doing it on a plod? And it did. They did feel weird. It didn't feel as comfortable as my kind of plushy kind of Brooks numbers or whatever, but. Definitely more boingy.
Super speedy.
Speedier. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. An interesting experiment. So yeah, I'll see how it goes. I've got my half in a couple of weeks. So yeah.
Yeah. I will be supporting you at the Bath half. I'm very excited.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that I'm not going to be running it, but for anybody who was hoping that might happen. Who I think I am, no one cares. But I've wanted to put all of my training efforts into New York. I get a bit stressed about having too many things in the calendar. But I will be there supporting. I can't wait to watch you be amazing. Lex is also running, so I'm going to support her.
Brilliant.
We're going to go for a big roast afterwards. So you're welcome to join if you fancy.
Thank you. As much as I'd hate to turn you down, I think there's going to be a big celebration for the people that I am also running with.
Because you know I'm running with? It's a school thing. It's a school thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd forgotten this.
Yeah. Well,
I was like, who are your secret running friends?
I knew you were going to think that. But there's a group of 11 parents from the school who we're all running to raise funds for the school to so that they've got enough money to do up the hall because they don't get enough money from the government. I'll leave that there.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a political episode, actually.
So we have to run half marathons to raise money for them so that there's adequate space for our children to eat and to do gymnastics.
It's like when we had to walk around the garden for the NHS.
Exactly that. So I'm doing that, but I must admit it does make me feel really weird, and I have been slightly incognito with it, so I haven't told anyone like what I do for a living, because there's 11 of us in this group and I think one other woman, and she's incredibly fast, so then there's all the chaps. And it's only today, someone put we've got a little group WhatsApp, and someone on there did ask for a suggestion for something running related. And I felt duty bound to say, oh, maybe you should try such and such. But I didn't, I've wanted to be incognito because I think every single runner is faster than me. And it's been quite grounding and quite sort of anxiety making to think about doing this, being sort of public and saying, oh yeah, no, I do this running magazine, and coming in last. So I'm just very worried about it.
But it's, once again, it's the same thing that you have told me on like press trips and stuff in the past, where it's remembering what running magazine we work for and our mission and what we do every sorry, I cringed myself out a bit then. Our mission, our, I don't know, what gets us up in the morning with what we do is always and has always been about getting other women who haven't always felt included in the running community or in sports communities in general to feel like they can give it a go. And I think so often lots of those people who have, who are very speedy, may have always felt like they are welcome and are speedy. And I don't think any would be like, Esther's come last. She's obviously not good at her job, because what you do is not be the speediest woman in the world. That's not what, why people listen to this podcast or why they read the mag.
Yeah. I don't, yeah, but you know what it's like, the imposter.
I know.
Last. But it did, actually, part of that bath half did lead into, there was something I wanted to think about a little bit, which is the kind of, and again, we've talked too much about running. I'm so sorry.
You, I even know, started, I'm saying really to me, sorry.
Before we started talking, you were like, oh, we shouldn't talk about running so much this episode.
I know. Really, well, I did tell the story about my being sick in the bins.
You did, you did. There's, yeah, some, there's some light relief, don't worry.
Yeah.
But I did want to talk about a little bit about support, and it's only because this had cropped up on Discord. And so, like, when I'm doing the bath half, even though it's my hometown, I won't necessarily be asking Dave and the kids to come along and support, because I never have. Mm-hmm. And it would be, it would be a resentful, you know, thing. They would feel, I feel guilty about asking them to come along. And it was a bit like the kind of the guilt for Sunday morning. I felt really guilty because I was leaving the house for 2 hours on a Sunday when I feel like I should have been with my kids a bit more. So I feel really guilty about that. And
I mean, you did sleep in a 3-foot bed last night, so I don't think Felix and Ted can be having anything against you at the moment.
That's true. But I don't feel able to ask them to come along and support me at another race. I don't think they've ever been to any race. I think that's right. They were going to come to the bath half in 2020, and then obviously, you know, COVID. And so I asked them not to come. But I thought it was very interesting. So on Discord, there was lots of conversation then. Discord, you can become a member of Discord. If you become one of our patrons, you can join us on Discord, and there's lots of lovely people talking about lots of things on there.
Yeah. I mean, it really goes off on there.
It does. And it's really, really nice. We've got lots of little channels that you can, that makes it sound derogatory, but we've got lots of different channels, which I've kind of spaced out in terms of like distance, but also kind of other topics that you might be interested in, like reality TV and books.
Book club. Book club. There's all sorts that goes on there.
Lots of chat about stuff, but there was, I noticed a couple of weeks ago that people were talking quite a lot about friends and family watching races or not. And the sort of conflicting emotions of wanting them to be there because you want them to be proud of you, but also the worry about them being bored. Like, I remember, like, the first time I did London, Dave and the kids almost came, and then almost at the last minute I was like, please don't come. I'm going to spend 4.5 hours running, being really worried about you looking after the kids in the middle of London and having to grip hold of their hands very tightly and stop them being taken by bad people and, you know, the crowds and all of that kind of stuff. And Bath, I wouldn't be so worried about that, but I would be worried about them just being really, really bored and massively resentful and not proud of me at all.
I think as someone who's been a spectator at quite a few races, as well as who's been in quite a few, I remember the first year that we went to watch Lex in the bath half, because she ran it in 2019 before I did. And I remember, the joy of Bath as well is the route basically does a double loop around the city centre. So we went and saw her going off at the beginning, and then we went and got a coffee and had a little wander around. I think I went and got a nice moisturizer from the body shop, actually, I remember quite well. And and then we went, and maybe there was one other place that we managed to see her, and then we met her at the finish line. So I mean, I think there are definite, it might be a bit more difficult with two children, what you can sort of, the limit of what you can do if you're having to sort of hang around for two and a half hours in town to watch it. But I think the spectating is quite fun. You know, some of those kids that stand there and like will be high-fiving people, or maybe we'll have a banner. I love looking at people's names on their bibs and going, go on, whoever it is, go on, blah, blah, blah. My favorite one ever was when we watched the UTMB, because there were so many different nationalities as well, that learning how to say, you would see a French flag, and then Mathieu or whatever, and we'd be like, allez, Mathieu. And then there'd be, I don't know, somebody else from like Spain, and it was great fun. And I quite like all of that. And I feel like maybe what you are doing, rather than standing there and watching, what you tend to be doing is walking around a lot from bit to try and see the person that you're after.
Will try and involve them. I think that's the thing, isn't it? Because I've always felt so good. If it's not raining, maybe I will, because I just, up until this point, I've always felt so guilty about it. Like you know, when we did Bath Half like year before last, it just felt like another long run that I was kind of saying to Dave, I'm really sorry, I'm going to be out the house for half a day. And I sort of went off, did it, and then slunk back really, really quickly. In fact, I remember running part of the way back so I could get back quicker. So after having done half, I was like running a mile.
Yeah.
To get back home quicker too. Because I just felt like I had to get
home. It just doesn't allow you to have that level of celebration.
Oh God, no.
And also I think them watching you, have Dave and the kids ever seen you met you at a finish line? I think that is so important for them to watch, because the atmosphere at a finish line, like, they know what you do because you tell them, but they don't, but they don't really see you cross that finish line and the amount of people going, yes, when you're crossing. And I feel like for them to watch, I think they'd be so proud in a way that they haven't really been able to be if they've not actually watched you do this thing and been able to see the reaction of the crowd and what a big deal it is.
I'd hope so. Although I am concerned that they were just going to be massively deflated that I haven't come in first, which is still their question when I come back with a medal. They think the medal is a first place medal.
Do they?
So I always have to say no, everyone gets one.
Well, they got some tough life lessons to learn.
I have to sort of say, it's a bit like when you do sports day, it's a medal for taking part. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I remember being gutted because in primary school you had the gold, silver and bronze. I think we had ribbons rather than medals. And well done for taking part one was like a rainbow coloured one. And you only got that if you didn't get anything else. And I remember getting like a couple of thirds or something. That men, I wasn't having, didn't have a huge gold haul or anything, but I had like one or two third ribbons that meant that I didn't get the rainbow one. Oh. I should have thrown it. I should have thrown the race.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted the rainbow one, the that rainbow. Said, well done for taking part.
I wouldn't mind a rainbow one that says well done.
I know, much more fun. Much more fun.
But I think, like,
see how and also they're much older now that you can probably ask them about it, can't you, and explain. There's probably going to be a bit of hanging around, but would you like to watch me come over the finish line? By the way, I'm probably not looking at podium.
This time. That's not my training block this time. It's not my A block. I think I could probably swing it this time just because they will have some friends there. So that might help.
Of course, if it's a school gang, then maybe it's worth putting in the... Maybe this is the only time that a school WhatsApp group has ever been useful, that you could see whether any of the other gang are thinking of bringing their kids. And if they're Ted and Felix friends, then that might be quite a nice... They can create a little cheer zone.
Yeah, that would be really nice, wouldn't it?
And cheer zones are a laugh. I've only done that when we went to... when I watched you in the New York Marathon, and it was
New York,
much more fun because there were other people to talk to, and it was just that was a bit more hanging around because I wasn't dotting around trying to find different places, but it was much more fun. And then you're in a group and you can do sort of coffee runs for each other and stuff. And
cheer zones are great. Although I have to say that when I was in Barcelona and it was the Barcelona half, that there was a substantial Brooks cheer zone. But it was, I don't know if I mentioned it, but it was like half a kilometer, maybe not quite so much, but maybe 200 meters away from the finish. So you kind of, And it's, so it's right, it's the last little bit you get to. You've got Sagrada Familia right in front of you, and you sort of, and there's this big sea of blue in the brook. So it was, so were loads and loads of people there, and it was really, really nice, and there was lots and lots of shouting. But you turn the corner, and they also had a gantry, which is really nice, but I honestly thought it was the finish.
Yeah, that's a little bit naughty, if that's going
to
be right.
So I turned the corner and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I've still got all of this way to go to get to the end.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was saying all of that because big shout out to all of the women, well, no, all of the people out there who are also just doing the relentless grind of training and racing, and but enjoying the races and signing up to races because of their own personal things and whatever, but with no support from family. Because I know that there are loads of people that do get support from their family, and that is brilliant, and I am very envious. And there are loads of people that do it with absolutely no support whatsoever, and maybe, you know, lots of people that are doing it completely solo. And I'm not saying that I have, you know, a horrible family. Like, people are, you know, generally supportive of me in words, just not necessarily in person.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think if you don't have a, specifically if you don't have a running partner, like if you don't, if your partner or if the people you live with aren't also runners, I think they can sympathize and kind of say some words of encouragement. But if they're not there on the sideline, I think there's loads of us run without the sort of encouragement that we're led to believe that we're supposed to have or that we do get. And I just don't think it's pervasive. I think you have to kind of, you have to encourage yourself a lot more than you're led to believe. There's, we just, we have to be our own cheerleaders, don't we?
That must be quite tough. I think I'm lucky that I don't have a running partner, but Doug is very, I think actually sometimes it almost helps that he's not a running partner. So he doesn't know. If I'm like, I've done 5 miles today, he's like, bloody hell. And that's quite nice. And I do remember, to be fair to him, a 10-mile run that I did. It was the one that I had to do on the Isle of Wight that basically ended up being going all the way around the Isle of Wight because it's smaller than I thought. he did join me from about mile 5 and rode next to me really, really slowly, which must have been so painful for his legs, on a bike. and cheer led me through and chatted to me because I was getting a bit bored, which is quite nice. But I do sometimes also have the crave for a partner who just, I don't know, who gets it because it's what they do as well. And also that you could do it with, oh my goodness, it would be such a joy. I would love to run with Doug, and not just because I would like a running buddy. I've got plenty of people in my circle, in my life, that I can do that with. Lots of my friends from school run, Lex runs, you run, we've got a whole community of women. Cara's even started running, got on the bandwagon now. I've got lots of people in my life who, especially women, who I can run with. But I just feel like it would like really strengthen our relationship, that like this thing that I care about, that I wouldn't feel like I was just showing him my splits and being like, hey, he would actually get it and be like, look at mine or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe that sounds idyllic and actually it's nice to have a bit of mystery about it all.
Maybe. Because likewise, like sometimes, very occasionally when I've done like a really long run, or like when I run distances that are palpable. So when I've said to him, you know, when I've got the train to Bristol and run back from there,
fair play.
You know, then he's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's you know, that's great.
I remember running to Kelston once and Doug being like, to Kelston?
Yeah, that kind of
thing. That's quite nice.
That is nice. Sometimes it does take a third party to say, oh my God, I can't believe you've run that far. For then Dave to sort of go, oh, yeah, no, that is quite a long way, which is kind of, you know, but I don't think we'd ever do the running together. I don't think Dave's ever going to be a runner.
It is easier said than done, isn't it? Because I have a dream that it would be nice for me and Doug to do that together. But actually, like those sort of sporty couples on Instagram. But in reality, we have been on one run together before and we're just not very well matched in that I think Doug is faster than me, but not as, hasn't got as much stamina. So what ends up happening is he's fed up with me because he wants to get on with it, but then he would rather head home earlier than I would.
Yeah.
So I think our running would be different anyway. Yeah. I've completely forgot, by the way, while we're talking about the sort of showing your partner your Strava stats and they don't really know what they mean, so it sounds very impressive.
Yeah.
I had the ultimate one of those the other day because I was looking through my old... I was looking at 5 mile runs that I'd done before on Strava because I was trying to work out where to go for my one the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's that loop look like? And I found one that I'd done in Brecon when we'd gone to visit Doug's parents once. Mm-hmm. And I did not see this at the time, but it was like, congratulations, you are the 9th fastest from Craddock to Aberystwyth. And I was so happy about it. And I knew that that was probably because 9 people have done it. But I was like, I immediately screenshot it and sent it to him and was like, I'm in the top 10 in Craddock. Oh, funny.
Oh, yeah. The only time I get those trophies or those laurel wreaths or whatever is when I'm running it's usually on holiday and it's usually in Devon and I never see anyone at all. And I'm running usually on like stupid bits of A road. And they're like, oh, you're the fastest person here. And it's like, yeah, I know. I'm the only person running this stupid
Have you ever
route.
Had fastest? Have you ever topped the
never.
Board?
No, never.
No, I haven't. That was my 9 is my closest, but I'm taking top 10. And I do occasionally see people run around there, but yeah, I think like it's really generally all you see is maybe 1 Land Rover and a lot of sheep.
It sounds perfect for running if you ask me.
Oh, it's so lush. It's such a nice route. And I mean, now that I know that I'm in the top 10 fastest people on that route, I'm sure you'll be seeing me all over as the face of Craddock to Aberystwyth Bridge. Oh my God. My Welsh might not be up to par there, by the way, if anybody can let me know whether I've pronounced that correctly.
Sounded beautiful to me. It sounded beautiful.
Thank you.
I tell you what we really need to do though, because like your training and my training is all going towards the half in New York the date for which I will never remember.
Remember, let me look it up. Oh, how professional.
It's the Real Simple Women's Half Marathon in Central Park in New York. And it's April the
28th, I believe.
28th.
I believe it's the 28th.
We just needed to mention that there'll be a link in the show notes and you can always go to Sports Tours International and search for the Real Simple Women's Half Marathon there because the package is there. And I needed to mention it again because we're coming to the end of the offer. So it's like last chance saloon now. And we would really like, if you've been sort of dithering about it, then do come and join us because it's going to be absolutely amazing. I mean, the fact that it's women only, I have never run in a half marathon that's just women. So
I can't believe that. I'm really excited.
It's going to be so lovely.
I'm a bit nervous actually because when I looked online, everybody in the pictures looks quite speedy. So I need more people to join us that can reassure me that they're going to be
just normal people
away like me. Yeah,
and I think we can now reveal that we're going to have Josephine Perry with us to give us nice pep talk the day before. So we're going to have a lovely strategy session with her where she can tell us how not to be worried when we do our half marathons like we had in Paris.
Strategy session. Very professional.
It does, doesn't it? So that's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that me and Hol, there are things that we didn't do when I was doing the marathon that we want to do this time. So in terms of speed tourism. So if you guys are up for a bit of speed tourism, so are we. And we definitely, you know, we want to get that ferry over to see Statue of Liberty.
There are a few things that I want to do again.
Yeah, like? And
the absolute first one of those. I don't know whether we're going to do it on the night that we get there, because we can be a bit hungover on the Saturday morning, I guess, or whether we're going to do it on the Sunday after we've done the race. I want to get another one of those margaritas that made us lose our minds.
But I just want to start with it this time. I don't want to have three beers and then have the margarita.
Agreed. Yeah, because I think I will have that margarita and then see how I feel rather
Let's
than the other way around.
Seek that bar out because that bar was amazing.
And then I wish we could remember what it was called. It was so good. We'll definitely be able to find it because we went to that big palm tree place that was probably like a New York local. Probably knows exactly what we're talking about. It's like Havana's or something, and it was like a huge like three-story like restaurant but also cocktail bar with that big neon palm tree outside it, and we weren't going there because we looked it up in a guidebook or we were trying to be classy or anything. We literally just went there because it said cocktails in neon writing and that was what we were after. But thank God, because they were like, no, we're like last orders or whatever, but there's this, and it was this tiny, gorgeous little, felt very authentic and off the beaten track, though it was off Times Square, so it probably wasn't hugely off the beaten track, cocktail bar. And oh my God, these cocktails were insane. And I cannot wait to guzzle another one and then regret everything afterwards. As we're sitting on bar stools opposite each other, realizing that we're slowly actually starting to
slipping off
backwards off them and go, I'm fucked. Should we go to bed?
I can't wait to have that again. We have to do that. And the one thing I really wanted to do that we didn't get to do, is it the High Line? You know, that it's the walk where it's all kind of a garden.
And
we never did that. And that's free.
Yeah, so no, we didn't do that either.
I'd love to do that. Maybe on the day after the race, if we have time, because that'd be a nice kind of leg stretcher, wouldn't it? So, Anyway,
good idea. Basically, we will start to put together a bit of a exciting itinerary for us all. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, just like happened last time, we had Jane and Alison, was it? Who started it when we were in Paris, who just immediately took on the role of like the school trip organizers. And Esther and I absolutely loved it.
Oh, it was great, wasn't it?
We were just the children as well then. We were like, I don't know. You'll have to ask my mummy. She might know. And we had no idea.
It was so funny. And Jane was just standing while everyone was buying all their metro tickets. And she was like, press that button. There you go.
Making sure everybody got them. They were queens of our hearts. So I'm sure a bit of that will happen again with whoever's joining us. But
because we're useless.
But we will try and put together a little bit of an itinerary of joys. And there will, of course, just like in Paris, be all sorts of lovely activities as well as just the race. So as Esther said, Josie's going to be joining us to calm all of our nerves the night before. Which I can't wait for. I'm not nervous about this one because I'm just really excited about it. Genuinely.
It's going to be great. So good.
We're definitely going to do a live pod to a degree. It just depends whether we actually be able to record it. We managed to do it with relative success in Paris, but it was all a bit touch and go. So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure we'll also organise some sort of a drinks reception thing.
Definitely. Yeah. And we should also take everyone to Junior's to have bagels for breakfast.
Oh, and to fall in love with the waiter.
Oh my God, I so fell in love with him.
he made us feel so special.
I know.
Ugh, I wonder who's out there making feel special today. Yeah.
Oh, I loved him. Loved him so much.
Yeah. He really was. It's going to be epic. But yes, please join us if you can. Fully appreciate that it is. I don't think we are expecting it to be quite as, well, if it is, then amazing. But to be quite as busy and sold out as Paris was, because this is, obviously we fully appreciate that it is a trip across the world for most of us. It's not a cheap thing. But I think it's also a relatively affordable way of doing it. And we are going to be packing a lot of New York shit into that 3 days, basically.
We totally are. We're going to have a best time. It's going to be a real kind of, yeah, a real treat this year, I think this is. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous.
I can't wait to do it.
And to do like a half marathon instead of a full marathon, to be able to walk afterwards, is going to be absolutely
joyous. I know. That's going to be really so nice for you. I'm looking forward to that for you as well. I'm not so much looking forward to sitting on the flight on the way home. However, it always surprises me. I say always. I'm just so well traveled. I've been to New York so many times. When the one time that we went to New York, it surprised me how quick that flight went, because the only other long haul flights I've ever done have been like 11, 12 hours, and, you know, six in comparison is really...
Oh, it's fine.
Whatever. Yeah. It's fine.
I had to speed through the second film I was watching. I had to kind
I didn't get through my first film. I had to finish it on the way home. Which I then discovered was literally a film about planes falling out of the sky.
Yes, so you did.
Do not recommend.
Don't sit next to Holly on the flight out. That's all I'm going to say.
No.
Slightly nervous traveller. Because you're watching like horror movies all the way there and then Bluey all the way back. It was really strange.
Yeah, I'm such a polarizing character. we've been watching a lot of Bluey, actually.
Oh, good. I'm pleased.
I really like to have it on in the background while I'm cleaning. It just makes me feel
really cozy. It's so weird, but.
There's an episode that's on BBC iPlayer at the moment called Mini Bluey, which makes me weep. So do feel free. I know. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Enjoy. I will. Do you know what I'm going to go and do now?
What are you doing?
Find that bloody cream egg.
Go and find that cream egg.
Yeah, I'm hoping to God that because I had to also grab my HelloFresh on the way upstairs, that it somehow slipped out of the bag. But concerned, it may be a lost Holly. Cream egg. Mm.
Godspeed.
Ask. Thank you. Mm. I will get my hands on one today, whatever happens. If I can't find this one, I'm going to call Doug and ask him to pick me up one on the way home from work.
And if the next episode is sponsored by Cadbury's, you'll know why.
Oh my God, that would be a perfect partnership for us.
Wouldn't
Come
it?
On. Pull your bloody finger out, Cadbury's. Get in touch, you cowards.
Yeah. You with the cream eggs, me with a fruit and nut. Oh my God, it would be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be so good.
Okay. Well, no, I never really know how to end them, but see you in a bit. Yeah.
See you in a bit.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.